The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 329 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm tired.
I'm Kitty.
I'm Lori Kim, and thank you for welcoming me back to this chapter.
No,
or this
Lori.
Chapter.
Thank you.
In this chapter.
Happy to have you. Happy to have you. It's always a joy, whatever harder this is going to end up being. And this episode is sponsored by Cami Pena. Thank you, Cami.
Thank you, Cami.
Thanks, Cami. Today, we will be discussing, finally, part two of chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Creature's Tale. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to creep your way through the details.
Do it.
Do what?
The recap.
Thank you. I was like, I can't do anything until you do something.
I know.
Kind of short and sweet. Because I think I just recapped based off of the last part of a part. Yeah. So Harry had found a letter from Lily to Sirius in Sirius's bedroom at Grimmauld Place. He takes in every little part of it and every detail. And he found the photograph of him flying on his little broomstick and the Potter's Head Cat.
How did we talk about that for like almost an hour?
Because this is Swish and Flick, and that's what we do. I also like, we talked about the Potter's Cat for a very long time. I'm not sad about it.
Yeah.
Just
Godric Quaffle.
Godric Quaffle. Or waffle.
Oh, Godric.
Oh, Godric.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Okay, so Harry still looking, and he takes another quarter of an hour to try and find the rest of this letter, right? What a cliffhanger, by the way. Yeah. Of course he's going to be interested. Dumbledore, what? I have so many questions about him anyway. Could this answer one of them? It's like a driving force throughout this book is for answers. And he decided that it's gone. And he tries to think of where it could have gone. Is it lost just over the years in the hustle and bustle of the room? Or is it taken by this original searcher person? And he tries to think, like, what in the world could be so interesting to this person searching? Quote, his toy broomstick could hardly be considered interesting to Death Eaters. And I said, LOL, you are correct, because Snape doesn't care about you or your broom at all.
Purposefully ripped right out.
But it's It's just interesting because he's thinking about this it goes two ways, right? This letter is a miraculous piece confirming that he had a mother and a father who loved and cared about him. And that's miraculous to him. This original searcher, as we now know, is Snape.
Original searcher.
It's just as miraculous to him. And that is someone who he, you know, whether you want to say he was obsessed or loved her, you know, to each their own. But it's almost just as meaningful and magical to him that her hand graced that page as it is to Harry.
Yeah.
In a couple of different ways. All right. So Harry notes that he could see that Death Eaters, if they were Death Eaters searching for this, right? Could, and there kind of is, because Snape is a Death Eater. Caring about the potential of finding out something interesting about Dumbledore in the leather, whatever that could be. And it makes me think, because we know that Dumbledore and Snape have conversations via portrait and headmaster's office. And I would love to know how that conversation went and if it went, because Snape talking to Dumbledore's portrait and being like, so do you have something that you need to share today? Is there something that you need to tell me? Because that's pretty, I just don't feel like that was a conversation that was had when he was alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know want to know about my ex-boyfriend? Like, oh.
Oh, I thought you were like asking me. I was like,
sure. Yeah. Go ahead, tell me.
No, I did not date Grindelwald.
I thought you were going to tell me like a real life story.
No, Dumbledore's ex-boyfriend.
I understand now.
His ex-bo.
Absolute fools. I want to know if that happened.
You want to know about my ex-boyfriend?
There are none.
Never had one. Dating? Who's she?
Who's she? What was your date's name?
I'm not saying
that. Jimmy. Oh. I remember.
Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. Lori, don't join in. Don't encourage them.
You're allowed to laugh. It's funny.
Jimmy Peaks.
Jimmy Peaks. In the house.
That was not his last name. I honestly don't remember.
They shared Skittles together at the
I remember this story now. Yes,
we did.
Katie's never shared Skittles at the movie theater with me before.
Share popcorn and chocolates and snuggles with you at the movies. We didn't snuggle.
Are you sure?
Yes. All right, let's move on. Crazy kid.
Oh, Jimmy.
So Harry's pulled out of these thoughts very quickly because Hermione is yelling for him and they're now awake.
Harry.
And they're very annoyed that he's gone because he just up and left without saying anything. And Ron lovingly calls him a git.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was sweet.
Tell him from me he's a git.
Tell him from me he's a git. And so Hermione's there and Harry shows her Lily's letter and he watches her and he studies her almost as she reads this. And when she reaches the end of the page, he shows her the picture. And there's this beautiful, calming friendship moment between them. And I feel like this, I love their friendship so much. And I love how solid they are when they are left alone by Ron later on.
Mm-hmm.
It just carries on. And her understanding to the best of her ability and her empathizing with Harry about the life that was and the life that was no more. And it's a moment of really nice, true friendship. And I loved that little bit there. She says, oh, Harry. And there's this too. He handed her the torn photograph, and Hermione smiled at the baby zooming in and out of sight on the toy broom.
Little Harry.
Oh, Harry.
And sharing that with her. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. It's special.
That's his picture. You know, that's proof of previous life that's super personal and super emotional. And not a lot of people, let alone 17-year-olds, would be so open.
True.
To show someone something that's so newly raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truly.
But they're more than just friends.
Like, he doesn't always share everything, though.
No.
You know?
But he does, specifically with Hermione and Ron. Ron the most, but mm-hmm. Hermione and Ron.
Yeah.
Like, family level, almost.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. He feels that she's his sister.
Yeah.
I thought you always knew that, right? And so Hermione, she's looking around. She inquires about the mess. And she notes that the rest of the house looks like this, too. So they're thinking about who searched it. Who could it be? The one and the only Snape.
Snape.
And
Seven.
Harry says... Information on the order if it was Snape. But Hermione quickly says, well, he was in the order.
Yeah. So like
he would have known, and he's very
yeah.
high up. And he would have known, you know, all the goings ons and whatnot. Especially since they vacated almost immediately after Dumbledore's death.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes on with this theory about maybe information about Dumbledore. And the second page of the letter, right? And brings up Bathilda or Batilda again. And little do we know, like, how big of an impact, like, she's going to have. She has mentioned so much. Like, we know that she's got Dumbledore's story because of Rita Skeeter, but, like, how she comes into play later on with Voldemort and Nagini is also, like, an exceptionally big deal.
Oh, it's the worst part.
It's pretty gross.
I don't like it.
So, what information did Snape glean from this? Well, he found out that there's a connection with Dumbledore and Grindelwald, right? And so yep. That is something.
Yeah.
So what was, Lori, what do we think the purpose of him going back there is?
How much time do I have? How big do you want the answer to be?
Cliff's notes.
I think he needs to do something to activate Harry looking for him, knowing that he's going to have to find Snape because Dumbledore has told Snape you have to see Harry in the moment between Voldemort, you know, putting his snake in under protection mm-hmm. and the final battle. There's this tiny sliver of time. We don't know what it is, but you have to find it. And you have to go to Harry and you have to give him the final message then. So I think he has been looking for something that will activate Harry's curiosity to look for something.
He goes there very mm-hmm. closely following Dumbledore. Didn't he go right there? Is that what
and,
we are assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing is for himself, when Dumbledore said, only you know if you can reintegrate your soul after killing me.
Right.
And Snape has to think about it, and then he says yes. So that's what he's doing. Okay. He has killed Dumbledore, which whether you do it out of mercy or out of hostility, it rips apart your soul as a human to take another human's life. And of course, it especially rips out Snape's soul because he loved Dumbledore. And now nobody in the world knows what Snape is really like because he's killed the last one. And to reintegrate your soul when you've ripped it apart, you have to feel remorse. And Dumbledore has been hounding Snape ever since Lily Potter died. Do you feel remorse? And Snape is like, don't even say that word to me. No, no, of course not. But now he has to, because that's the only way he can keep his soul together long enough to stay alive to get Harry the final message. So he is finding something that's going to thunderously take his emotions back to the thing that he has to feel remorse about, which is that he tore apart this family's life. He destroyed it. And he condemned this infant to a really crappy life. Mm. So he finds the letter. He finds something that has Lily's love in it. And he does to the letter and to the photo what he did to the family.
And his soul.
So he can feel it. And that's when he ugly cries, the ugliest cry ever.
Yeah.
And that is the only time in the series that we see somebody undergoing remorse. And that reintegrates his soul, and he takes the letter and the other half with him when he gives his memories back to Harry. He's giving those back, maybe not the physical copies, but you know, the meaning of it. And he's saying, I am acknowledging what I did to your life and to your family. Mm-hmm. I'm repeating it here.
That's brilliant. And we don't get to see, I mean, granted, Snape does not make a Horcrux with this killing, right? There's so much more that goes into that. And Secrets of the Darkest Arts says that the pain of putting your soul back together after you've made a Horcrux could nearly kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe that's why it's not, I mean, obviously showing remorse like this is very difficult and painful within itself to heal your soul. But I feel like if a Horcrux had been made, you know, that would perhaps look a little bit different. I'm not sure exactly how that would look at all, actually.
I think making a Horcrux is a whole different thing,
because
you have to prepare a container, first of all.
Right.
Which, you know, he didn't. And
I'm talking about putting your soul back together, the remorse.
Right.
With a Horcrux being made. Like, oh. Whatever that looks like is.
Oh, the process of undoing a Horcrux. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would probably be a lot more insane. But yeah. Just he had no time really to, like, if he's going to put Harry on this path of like learning this story, he has nothing on him to go in there. And do you think he's pretty much counting on Sirius's friendship and what he knows of Grimmauld Place to give Harry the clues are already here?
You definitely get the sense that he was running through the house looking for something. There's got to be some love in here somewhere.
He's almost frantic and panicked.
He's
I've got to get up and get out of here.
The difference between Snape and Voldemort thinks he knows Harry's deepest desire. He thinks that Harry has a saving people thing, and that's what will always get Harry Potter every time. Right. You know, sacrifice yourself or I'll kill your friends. And Snape, on the other hand, Snape, Dumbledore, and Ron are the only people who know what Harry sees in the mirror of Erised. Snape, because of occlumency lessons, knows that what Harry sees is his parents.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that that's a deeper desire. So there's going to be...
You already did away with that.
Yeah. So he knows if it's, you know, find something about Harry's parents in Grimmauld Place and make a giant mess.
Yeah.
So Harry can see the giant arrows pointing to something of your story is here. and give him enough of it to ignite that hunger. And there's going to be a final bit of it. Come and get it. And then that'll give you the strength to get Voldemort in your final battle, because Snape giving back the love that he didn't really own from Lily, that he wanted, that he craved from Lily, is the parallel to Dumbledore wanting James's cloak, which didn't belong to him and it wasn't supposed to be. And so, when it's time, ashamed of himself, Dumbledore gives the cloak back. And Snape wanted Lily's love. And so did Voldemort. Voldemort wanted the love that Harry got from Lily. You can't really steal these things. They're not yours.
No.
You have to give them back. So
Oh, that's
Snape is,
brilliant.
saying, I know how you feel about your story. I have every all those horrible losers that I hate that gave you your father back. I have your mother. I can give her back to you. And she wasn't mine.
Lori.
And that's the tearing of the photo, which is so disgusting, right? Like when you find out that he took this innocent, beautiful photo and he ripped it, you're like, that is the most disgusting, hateful thing I've ever seen. He's showing, okay, I know that's what I did.
And then the whole of Deathly Hallows is him putting his soul back together.
Keeping it together to see if he can do something with the second chance in life that Dumbledore gave him.
And I would like to think that in the wizarding world, in that realm, we see King's Cross, we see what Voldemort, his future is, right? And we see Dumbledore. And he's whole. So he must have done some of that putting himself back together as well. As dark as it is, I think that his is the one that killed Ariana, by the way. Anyways, and I would like to think that Snape, in the very end, he gives his memories to Harry. And he's able to go on to wherever Dumbledore is because he's healed. And that's what I would like to see in the I headcanon, believe that his afterlife is like. And I
Well,
think
when,
he would be like seeing Dumbledore and be like, I'm tired. Can I get
yeah.
some rest in this afterlife?
Well, the thing, what you were saying in the previous episode, when you were wondering what kind of conversation Snape had with Dumbledore's portrait after he got the second page of the letter saying, what about you and Grindelwald? That to me is really important, because the whole time that Dumbledore was saying to Snape, you're disgusting, you disgust me, Snape thought that Dumbledore was saying, I'm better than you, and he wasn't. And it was the way he says, he's never meaner to anybody than he is to Snape, saying, you disgust me. That's how you talk to somebody that reminds you of yourself.
Absolutely.
But Snape didn't know that.
Oh, no.
And
Lori.
now he does. Now, with this letter, he realized that man that I thought was so pure and I was so dirty in front of him, no, he was actually slightly dirtier.
The same as me. It's not me.
And look what he made of himself. And I can do that too. And that, and with that knowledge of his own life, he gave Snape a second chance. And Snape, right after Lily and James died, was not a lovely person. Not somebody that you would automatically think, oh, this person deserves a second chance. And he gave it. And that's why I believe that by the time that they have that exchange where he casts the Patronus and Dumbledore gets tears in his eyes and says, after all this time, I think that's at least half about Snape and Dumbledore. Because Lily is dead. This is old news, but Dumbledore gave Snape a chance a long time ago. They have had ups and downs. Dumbledore does not even necessarily look like he loves Snape sometimes, even though Dumbledore's love means everything to Snape. And So all this time, when he said, "Would you do this for me? Would you do this for the memory of Lily? Go save this baby that you don't even care about." And Snape said yes then, and he stayed faithful to it.
Yeah.
And it was a really long time, and they went through a lot. And
Yeah.
to see that, that conviction is still pure, that was a Dumbledore Snape moment, much more to me than a Snape Lily moment.
Like, I'm still here. I'm still doing this.
You put faith in me, and you don't even know if I still feel that, and I do.
And I do. It's at the forefront.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore knows how that feels to be guilty in yourself because he has the history with Grindelwald, which is something that Snape now knows.
And even
But
in
he
the
didn't
afterlife,
before.
cries about it.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
That's,
Forgive me.
yeah. So I think, did Dumbledore erase all his debts? No, but what can you do? You can do the best that you have. And I think that was what Snape was going for was, am I proud of it? Do I wish I could do it over? Well, you can't. I can do the best that I have.
I said this on the podcast last time. I may have about the paper and the crumpling.
I don't think so.
It's an activity I do with students.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like
Mm, yes.
you can crumple that paper
Yeah.
and you can try to smooth it out to the best of your ability, but it's never going to be perfectly flat again. But you can certainly try and it makes a difference, But in Lori, in your own words, which I have underlined from your book, and this will be, I'll move on after this. Lori says, and I quote, "This letter was the first time Snape learned that Dumbledore, whose soul seemed surely more pure than Snape's ugly, dark-marked soul, had once been Grindelwald's friend." Later on, you say, "The news about Dumbledore's past, though his form of fascism and the death of Ariana would have changed Snape's perception of Dumbledore in a way that would have made Snape feel less alone, not more." And I enjoy your words and thoughts very much so every time I read or hear them. And that it's so true. It's so true. Okay, where are we? So they're inquiring about the mess that's made. He's already in the order. He knows everything then. Okay, information about
I
Dumbledore.
think
Oh, okay.
Bathilda.
So the second page of the letter, for instance, this Bathilda my mom mentions, you know who she is? Who? Hermione should know. Come
I
on.
know, right? How many Bathildas
Bathilda Bagshot, the author of A History of Magic, said Hermione, looking interested. So your parents knew her. She was a credible magical historian. And she's still alive. Do I sound like Jim Dale? Just listen to this, said Harry. And she lives in Godric's Hollow. Ron's auntie Muriel was talking about her at the wedding. She knew Dumbledore's family too. Pretty interesting to talk to her. Wouldn't be pretty interesting to talk to her, wouldn't she? So, like, the earnest, the intense need for connection, of understanding, and for answers is fueling Harry. And that's exactly what Snape's plan was. Kudos, it worked.
I do think too that he was specifically calling out the Bathilda part with Hermione because he was like, "Oh, she'll get on board with this. Like, oh, look at
Look at
this."
these books, you
Yeah.
nerd. And Hermione immediately knows where he's going with this. And Harry almost recoils because he's been caught in the asking without asking to make a trip to Godric's Hollow, which he knows deep down is a very, very dangerous thing to do, given that Voldemort.
Is expecting him there.
Yes, Harry's weak, right, in Voldemort's eyes, and he puts too much stock in relationships, and this is going to be part of his downfall and how he's going to get got. Right. So Harry quickly tucks the half of the letter and the ripped photo into the pouch around his neck. And this pouch continues to fill with the broken pieces and promises of, like, what could have been.
Weep wah.
Much, much like the brokenness of Harry's life and what could have been in his eyes, even though he does have something beautiful happening for him. His life is beautiful despite his past. The most important things to him have been cut down. And now they're these symbols that hang around his neck and are carried every day right next to his heart. And he doesn't ever forget those things. The wand ends up there after it's broken.
He's very sentimental.
Harry over here like Flava Flav.
Big old collapse. But truly, like, all of these most important things he hangs on to, and they're tucked in close.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, thank God he keeps a broken mirror. You know, he's alive because of it. But he's a very sentimental person. And like we said, he's very emotional about these things. And Hermione is like, I don't know about Godric's Hollow. Is it relevant for Horcrux hunting? I would say yes, but that's just me.
At this moment in time, though, with what they know, no. But, like, it'll get there.
Yeah.
She'll come around to it. I think she's really scared.
Well, she's scared because of what happened there. And she's scared because she knows how Voldemort thinks that Harry thinks because of everything with Sirius. But it would be a place to go because it's a meaningful location for Voldemort.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore eventually would have went there.
Would have gone there,
to look. Because that's how Voldemort thinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's scared, rightfully so. That's in the open. There's wizards there. It's a place that feels really close to Voldemort because of what happened. And she knows that they would be expecting them to show up there. It's kind of like, you know, if they were thinking that there were going to be Death Eaters at Grimmauld Place anyway, right? These are important locations to Harry Potter.
Right.
It's a great assumption because not only do they end up going, but Voldemort thinks that, you know, Harry's weak, obviously, to him. And Godric's Hollow means something to Harry, and he would probably go there like an idiot.
Ouch.
Voldemort's thoughts aren't very nice.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But he's also kind of starting to fall apart at this point, Voldemort.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love how this part of the chapter gives heavy, heavy hints to the reader. This mystery. Who searched the room? Why did they find the second sheet valuable? These things are important. Keep them in mind. Because then for hundreds of pages, there's going to be no mention of it at all. Like, you kind of forget about it, but it's always there in the back of your head. And Hermione smiling at the baby. That's Hermione. That's Deathly Hallows Hermione. It's different from how she is in the other books. In Deathly Hallows during war, her function is to maintain empathy and keep her emotions healthy. Like, she cries a lot. Like, she doesn't let war toughen her. And I love when they're wondering, what were they after, do you think? They don't even come close to guessing the real answer. Like, they're after you, Harry. They're after helping you. And also, the way that Snape takes the second half of the letter, that's like a chivalrous knight that does things for a lady that's above his station, that he can never, he's sort of in love with her, but they never have a romance. And, you know, they get a favor from the queen or whatever lady they're doing things for to help keep them alive. It's supposed to, thinking about her, it's supposed to help you win fights and come back alive. But, and it's also an emphasis on the thing that Snape and Harry have in common, which is that they were both formed by love from the same person. And, you know, and it's, as I said earlier, a way to send Harry a message. I have something of yours. Come and get it.
Mm-hmm. Jinx, you owe me a Coke, Tiffany.
And I love, like, the three of them going, what would he want? Information on the order if it was a Snape. This is classic trio dynamic. you know, when the three of them are just, and it's nostalgic by this point to see them working this way. Like, ah. And then when Hermione's saying, "You knew Dumbledore, how can you let these people tarnish your memories of Dumbledore?" No. You can't, once it starts, you can't stop that. That's Harry's issue. He has to continue to love Dumbledore and do what it takes to understand him better without Dumbledore there to help him with that. He wanted the truth. Why was everybody so determined that he should not get it? Okay, that's Harry in a nutshell.
Literally.
And then we move to the next part of this chapter, which is so dark. There are deep scratch marks on
In
RAB's
Dumbledore's door.
door. Oh, that's dark. And then the pompous little sign, neatly lettered by hand. I just have to say, this author is so good at characterization. We never even meet Regulus, and we know so much about him because of that. Yeah. And, you know, when they think about him, they say he would have wanted to bring Voldemort down, and he was their age. It's so refreshing for Harry, Ron, and Hermione to come across a human being who would not tell them, "You're too young to be fighting a war." You know, how they don't have to con this person that they're facing evidence of understood. No, the stakes really are this high. And yeah, and I like thinking about, like, we even get some of his personal motivation, Regulus, that he's smaller, slighter, and rather less handsome. This is pure second British son. Like sibling rivalry, like you're never quite as good and you're not as rich. You have to fight your way to, you know, be as good as the first son. And, you know, the kind of home that they live in is exactly that kind of house. So this, yeah, Regulus, this is as deep as it gets in the series, thinking about what he went through.
And the idealization of Voldemort in the Death Eaters, when we come upon that, well, I mean, we're probably going to hit that in the next episode. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's
It's
like
not a
a,
good, it's not a fun topic to talk about, that's
well,
for sure.
it's like, should I say this? Trigger warning? I don't know. Oftentimes when they find newspaper clippings of serial killers of their crimes, it like hits like that.
Like the clippings of the Voldemort, like all the articles about Voldemort that Regulus has.
It's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. And it also makes me wonder, you know, we talked about Percy. Perfect Percy, perfect Percy. He was hurting so much that he felt that he had to do things and live in that way, just in my opinion, and I think you guys think the same thing after talking to Chris Rankin, to have the attention of his family. And he overcompensated in that way. And I wonder if Regulus did the same with his whole Death Eater route. You know, because eventually Percy comes back, and so does Regulus.
Yeah, that's true.
It is a similar comparison, just in different times. All right. Well, we'll pick up with my part in the next episode, but we're gonna do Lightning Bolt right now. Let me pull those really quick. Sorry for the pause. Okay. Sam asks, what would be the equivalent of giving your baby a broomstick nowadays? I feel like it has to be a cozy coop.
A what?
A cozy
A
coop?
what?
You know what they are.
What's a cozy
You
coop? The little
just don't know
red
what they're
and
called.
yellow car that you
You've seen
move
them.
with your feet?
The classic like play
That's a
school car.
Flintstone car. It's a cozy
It's
coop.
technically called a cozy coop.
It's a
But
Flintstone
yes, you're
car.
correct. It's a Flintstone car.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Lori?
I know what you're talking about.
I do now that I realize you don't mean coop like a chicken coop.
Paddle it.
Yeah, no, the car.
Gosh,
I love that. Like that's the broom equivalent.
What about those battery powered cars?
Yeah, what are those?
Hoverboard.
Oh, a hoverboard. Oh. But that's like for older kids.
So should a broom. One-year-old super around.
What about those? Obviously holding on. Okay, Katie.
What about those little mini trampolines with a handle?
Mm. Oh,
yeah, that's a good comparison.
A lot of kids have those.
Yeah.
James would probably hurt himself on the no.
James on no. A little broom.
Oh God.
Like he is as old as little Harry was, right? Riding the broom.
How old was Harry when all this happened? He was
like one and a half.
It was his first birthday present. The broom was his first birthday present.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Younger than James.
James was walking at one. I will not forget this. I'm sure he walked at the other parks, but James at Hollywood Studios in Galaxy's Edge, everything there is rock. If you don't know, if you've never been there, it's called Black Spire Outpost. Everything is rocks. And this little wobbly, freshly 1 year old, I was so terrified that he was just going to bust his face. It was so scary.
It's okay. He would have just gotten back up and kept running, Tiff.
It's true. It's true. He's a little bit of a maniac, but he's my maniac.
Gil says, what was Dumbledore and Grindelwald's ship name?
Mm. Did we do this?
Dumbledore, Grindeldore.
Gumbledore.
Yeah. Grindeldore.
You could all do all
Albert.
Yeah, it was Albert. That's what we got to. Albus and Gellert.
Yeah, I think that you're right. We Albert. Did say Albert.
Grimbledore. Good one, Marguerite.
It was Gil.
No, Marguerite just said Grimbledore.
Oh, sorry. I was like, Gil asked the question.
Double-walled.
Sorry, I'm not looking at the chat. I apologize, Marguerite. That's so funny. I'm sorry, this is a long question, and I'm reading it. Sam, Dumbledore was the secret keeper for 12 Grimmauld Place. Could they just have changed it to someone else, and because of that change, would Snape have been able to find it still, or would he or everyone need to be told again by the new person?
I believe the rules with Secret Keeper is if the Secret Keeper dies, then anyone else who knew the secret,
it's now
they
secret
all
keeper.
Are Secret Keepers now as well.
Yeah.
So Snape would be involved in
that. So I think that if maybe they could have changed it before Dumbledore died, but obviously it was not expected.
Right. No. Yeah, you can change. Just
yeah.
Did we talk about how he gets through the curses?
He gets through what curses?
The tongue-tying curse and Dusty.
We talked about how he arrived before they put those in.
Got it. You're right.
You
know what? That makes me think that they didn't even bother to go anywhere else in that house.
Oh, yeah, because they would. Oh, yeah. Because
they would have noticed and noted that it was a hot mess express.
That's true.
Hermione said when she was looking for Harry, like just now, that she noticed the other rooms that she looked in were a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must have just.
He didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah. Okay. Blake, do you think Dumbledore put off going to Godric's Hollow because of his own memories there?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, but.
I think he's going with the information that he has. I know right now that this cave is where I'm to be because that's where all my little, it's like Charlie Day. Carol, right? We've got a map pointing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
no,
you better.
Sorry.
Discord will know.
What is it?
It's from
It's Always Sunny. Carol.
It's that's thing what, like all the stuff is.
That's
connected.
What Dumbledore has right now. Thank you, Mia. Thank you. And I think he's just going, he's got a sick hand, you guys. He's dying. He's got to go with what he's got right now. We can't be venturing out
that
into the unknown
from
right now.
Sunny?
Yeah.
Please watch it. It is hilariously terrible.
The parts I've seen, if that's accurate.
Yes. Pepe Sylvia.
Pepe.
Okay. What else you got?
Sorry.
Are you okay?
You're like,
last one. No, they in Discord, they're like, they were looking up popularity of first names, and yeah. I was looking at those. I apologize. The last one is from Sam. If we were not jinxing with Cokes, she put in parentheses soda, and I'm gonna ignore that because
Sam.
I don't know what soda is.
Sam.
But what would we jinx with if it wasn't Coke? Also, P.S. I love you, Sam. I'm just making fun of you, and that means that I love you.
Easter sweethearts.
Easter sweet tarts. I was gonna say $5 Starbucks gift card.
Way more than a Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the right.
Disney Coke. Mm-hmm. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, for real. Disney Coke is like $4.99.
$4.99.
What about Airheads?
I don't know. I want it to be a beverage still.
Oh, a drink?
Mm.
It doesn't have to be. That's just me. I want it to be a beverage. So I would say a latte.
I mean, that'd be pretty great.
Yeah.
Lori, if you were in on these shenanigans, what would you want in a jinx?
I always want chocolate.
Yeah, she was prepared.
That's valid.
Yes, Katie K. Reese cups, but the egg one.
6-piece chimkin nugget.
From where?
Mickey D's.
That's the right answer. Oh, I know. I know. I know something I could say that could start a fight. Katie, what do you think
on
of this?
On this Hufflepuff thing? I don't think
Nacho
so.
Fries!
I'm not in this fight. Because I've never had them.
Nacho fries from Taco Bell because they're so good.
If you ever
they?
Want to start an undesirable list for me, number one, Taco Bell nacho fries.
Well, like, Marty's on your team, Katie.
Good. I he knows what's you. Right.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. He's on Meg's team.
I've never in my life heard Katie hate something as much as she hates Taco Bell nacho fries. And I truly like can't even comprehend her
Katie,
hatred of them.
Katie, did they give you the Rhea?
No.
Mm. They're disgusting.
Tiffany.
They're terrible.
When I'm telling you, like, no one can convince her.
They're a lie. Well, they're not natural fries, they're natural lies.
Dang.
They're terrible.
Words have been said. All right, moving on.
That was everything. Discord discourse. Discord discourse. Okay, we're almost there.
Yep.
Mia says, it gives me a bit of the ick. Like, wait, that, hold on, let me start that. I was being too silly about it, and then I lost my train of thought. Oh my gosh, you're typing things.
Katie.
It. What is going on?
Who's in there?
Okay. I think it's me. It's Mia. It's Mia. It's okay. I'm sorry.
Tiffany.
It gives me a bit of the ick that, like, the immortalization in writing of Lily's love was not intended for Snape, but he took it anyway. Mm. Based on Lori's acknowledgement that Snape's tearing of the photo in the letter is an acknowledgement that he recognizes what he did for that family.
Yeah.
But she still hates it.
I think that's how we are supposed to feel.
Correct. Yeah.
And especially because it wasn't romantic love, even. It was lots of love. It was sisterly love. And it totally was not meant for Snape. It was meant for Snape's least favorite person in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Marguerite says, this whole conversation is one that I will need to listen to again. Like, there's so many deep conversations happening in and out of Discord that I'm just sitting here like, whoa, dude.
Whoa.
That's,
I like that.
That's how I felt while recording this too. So,
whoa, dude.
I'm not even kidding. Like, we were in the middle of the episode and I was like, I think I actually kind of want to listen to this episode. And I haven't listened to an episode like back post recording in a long time.
Yeah. Like, in its entirety.
Yeah, but I was like, I think I want to do that with this one.
Might not be a bad idea.
Are we going to save the fan story?
Yeah, we did that last time.
Let's do that.
But I will give you a joke.
Yeah, yes. Katie, do you have a joke for us?
Yeah. It's not a Potter joke, Tiffany, because this is still the same day and I don't have my joke book.
The internet exists, but okay.
I'm just saying. All right. Why did the Scarecrow win an award? Because he was outstanding in his field.
That's really sweet.
That is.
Oh my gosh. I love the look on Tiffany's face. Meg's like lived with me and dealt with me enough where she'll laugh. Tiffany still tries to like be like, that was dumb, but I liked it. I liked it a little bit.
My good teacher friend, Mr. Goodwin, today. I came back.
Yeah, bring it.
Well, he dresses as a leprechaun, by the way, for St. Patrick's Day.
Oh my god.
He watched my class while I went to the bathroom, and I'm just, you know, hurrying back, come in. He goes, "Did you file the paperwork?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "In the bathroom. Get it, toilet paper, paperwork."
Oh my god.
Yes, I filed the paperwork.
Monsters Inc. joke. I have a joke. I have a joke.
All right. I got a girlfriend.
Why can't Snape be a herbology teacher?
Because his lily died.
Yeah. Because
he can't keep the lilies alive.
Lori's like, oh.
But if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
Yep. Oh, man.
Oh, no. Snape has been fired from Hogwarts. They didn't even give him a Severus package.
I've seen that one.
He's done.
I haven't seen that one, but that's so totally what would happen to him.
Yeah.
How does Snape sneak up on a Gryffindor? By Slytherin.
Oh my god.
Okay, I'm done. If you'd like
she
to
can hear
us,
you, you know.
You can. Oh no. I'm sorry. Follow your host on social media. Myself and Katie are on TikTok and Instagram at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on TikTok and Instagram at @tiffswish_flick. Lori, where can we find you?
I have a new podcast called Harry Potter After 2020 with Lori Kim and JC, and we are at hpafter2020.com.
Awesome. I don't think that we got any bingos.
I didn't see any.
And the House Cup standings are the same. So Ravenclaw's in first, Gryffindor's in second, Hufflepuff is in third, and Slytherin is in fourth. We are in desperate need of Slytherins on Swish and Flick podcast.
You got Michigan Mike. What do you need? Vinny's in here tonight.
We need more.
Vinny didn't even get grounded today. I don't even know what to do with my life.
Wow. My wife.
You need to be more edgy in here, Vinny. What's going on? Or did I just miss it? No.
What?
Mia?
For what?
Well, okay, well, we can't.
For why?
I'll tell you.
No, for why?
I'll tell you.
Tell me, write me out.
I'll tell you later.
No, write me out.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Where are my points?
There's a why.
It's not your day. It's my day.
Mia's the one who gave them.
I need to know why.
Oh.
Whatever.
Did you see it? They still saw that.
All right. We're going to get off of this now. I don't know what this is for.
It's for Vinny.
It's for
Pepe Slytherin.
No, it's for Pepe Sylvia. And that's it.
I know that that's from Sunny.
Okay. I think it's for Lori.
It's the same episode.
It's for Lori.
Lori, you blew minds tonight. We're proud of you. Thank you for sticking around. And
yeah,
would you be willing to come back for potentially at least four more? Probably.
It's a very long tail, creature's
it's a
tail.
Very long
this
tail.
This episode's for your tail.
This episode's
for how many episodes is the prince's tail going to be, though?
It's up to Lori.
Like, oh my god.
Oh, man.
I'll try to keep it short.
No.
Okay. Please don't. All right. Well, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
Love of all that's good.
I know.
Let's go. Okay, here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 329 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
Wait, and did you start recording?
Yep. We counted, remember?
Sure don't.
Now I have sure to double check. Didn't everybody hear it? Because we talked about
I thought I did.
We talked yeah, about Zoom lady.
Yeah, Zoom lady. Oh yeah.
Thank you, Zoom lady.
I have the attention span of a gnat.
I didn't even get to say my name.